T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Have a good weekend. Edward Trapito joins us now, Professor and Associate Dean for Research at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health, to talk about vaping. And since it first was introduced in the United States, I guess maybe 4 years ago now or more, what have we learned, and what is the current situation on that? So good morning, Edward. Thank you for taking the time with us. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Tommy. Nice to talk to you.
Professor, go ahead.
I just actually learned that electronic cigarettes have been around since 2003. I was very surprised by that. Yep.
What was the genesis of this? Where did they come from?
They were invented apparently in Asia, and I think the goal was to produce something that did not have tobacco that might be safer than cigarettes. And indeed, they developed a product, and now we have many, many products that don't contain tobacco but do contain other things.
Has there been any change in the basic vaping device since then, or is that still the same?
Totally different. They started out as big, rather clumsy cigarette-shaped, but longer, with wells that could be filled with different liquids for flavoring. They evolved to more streamlined products, particularly in the last few years, things like Juul. And now there are a number of products that are totally disposable that are less expensive than Juul had been, which was quite costly, and now they come in multiple colors, still lots and lots of flavors, although not so many that would be marketed towards kids. But yes, it's evolved significantly, and you know, now it looks like you're anyone who's using an electronic cigarette or a vape product might be smoking on a flash drive.
Wait, a flash drive?
Yeah, in other words, the thing you stick into your computer, or you use to your computer, that's what they look like now, except they're multicolored.
Wow.
Why people want to put a flash drive in their mouth is beyond me, but that's they've evolved considerably.
The idea would have to be for concealment purposes, I guess?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it doesn't look like a cigarette.
And so the parents won't know, I would think. Along those lines, is this something primarily aimed at youth?
Well, there are two groups. It's aimed at youth, certainly, because tobacco companies, this is going to sound strange, but tobacco companies continually have to replace their users who die. And so by marketing at kids, they get kids hooked on nicotine, and once they're hooked on nicotine, they may become users, vapers, or cigarette users for life. So that's where the market has gone. Now, for adults, there is still the possibility, and there's some data to provide evidence, that it could be used as a help for smoking cessation, for stopping tobacco use.
In terms of the nicotine, and I guess because of the other chemicals that are in cigarettes, nicotine is extremely addictive. Here's what I guess the question I'm trying to pose is there a way to safely vape at all if there's no nicotine involved, if for whatever reason you just want to inhale, and I guess you'd be inhaling vapor that tastes like grape or cherry or what have you?
The answer to that question is essentially no. The flavors, there are 15,000 or so flavors on the market. The flavors contain a variety of chemicals. Some of those chemicals are known carcinogens. And the others we really just don't know about. I mean, chemicals that might be marketed in food products where you ingest them may have different properties than if you're vaporizing them and inhaling them.
Did you say 15,000 flavors?
Yes.
Wow. It seems as though, you know, out of sight doesn't necessarily mean, or rather out of mind, it doesn't mean that it's not going on. But it seems like with COVID, I'm not seeing people hanging out vaping like I used to. Is there any statistical evidence to support that or refute that?
So that's a very good question. The situation is this. There have been a couple of studies that were conducted in 2020, but largely they were done before COVID. So there are annual studies that the CDC does that looks at all kinds of tobacco use among adults and kids. And those suggested that there was a decline in both adults and kids, and they looked specifically at high school and middle school students. And there had been a decline, but that was all before COVID. So now, when COVID hit, there are a couple of things to think about. On the one hand, kids were not in, you know, they were basically more at home, and so they were not in a situation where they were surrounded by throngs of other students. And so the ability and the opportunities for vaping are less. We do know that, well, all right, let me finish this thought first. But we also know that there is some recidivism where people who were smokers, because of the stress of isolating at home and the lockdown, have returned to smoking. So it's a question as to where we're going to be with e-cigarette use. The one fascinating thing and scary thing is that it looks like vaping increases the likelihood of COVID between 5 and 7 times compared to people who don't vape.
Say that part one more time again, please.
Sure. Vapers have between 5 to 7 times the risk of being diagnosed with COVID.
Is that because the vaping does something to their lungs that makes it more receptive to the virus, or that the symptoms or it's more likely to develop, the coronavirus is more likely to develop into COVID once it gets into a vapor's lungs? What's, I guess, the biology or physiology of that?
So there are a couple of things. First, the answer is not firmly known, but we do know that vaping has a negative effect on immune function in lungs. In fact, and also causes inflammation. And so you've got lung tissue that's already impaired and inflamed. Now, if somebody is exposed to COVID, the likelihood is greater that they're not, you know, if they were to inhale droplets with COVID, they're not going to be able to fight it off initially. So that's probably what's happening. The other thing is, of course, there's a behavioral issue in that if kids are vaping, that means they're not wearing a mask and they're taking off their mask to vape. If they're sharing the vape with somebody, that also, of course, increases the risk. So it may be a behavioral thing. It may be a biological thing. My guess is it's a combination of both.
We spoke to Meg Farris earlier this week about a story she had on Channel 4 with pulmonary fibrosis as a result that can manifest itself in some patients that have had COVID, even though they've been asymptomatic. And I know you know about this, but for the audience that didn't get a chance to hear it, has there been any long-term research into vaping and some kind of similar offshoot of that in terms of the lungs and damage to the lungs?
There's been relatively little because although I mentioned earlier that the products have been on the market for a long time, mm-hmm. They keep changing. And as you recall, and I'm sure the audience recalls, in 2019, there was this rash of acute episodes of students primarily ending up in hospitals with congested lungs, and unfortunately a fair number dying. So there's a lot of interest, and I think it would have progressed further, but then COVID came along, and COVID kind of has knocked out a lot of the other research that's been going on because of the immediate need to work on COVID. I think the answer is we don't really know yet about long-term effects from e-cigarettes. It would not surprise me, given the acute effects, that there will be long-term effects, but we don't know.
One of the many things that amaze me about human beings, doctors, the way they take their lungs for granted, and I don't, I, for the love of me, I don't get it. I really don't. But we'll pick it up here when we come back. Dr. Edward Trapito is our guest, Professor Associate Dean for Research at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health. We're talking about vaping, and if you have any questions or comments, you can text them to the WWL Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along. It is 922. We'll be right back, WWL. Yeah, 9:26 now, Friday morning, January 29th. The weekend ends on Sunday, and then we start a new week and a new month on Monday. We're talking to Dr. Edward Trapito, our friend, professor and associate dean for research at LSU New Orleans, LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health, about vaping and the effects of it. And doctor, there's so many different things I could ask you here. Some of the texts that are coming in. Could you please ask the doctor to compare it to smoking? And again, going to what I said before the break about taking your lungs for granted, I would say stay away from either, but if you can compare and contrast the two, please.
Sure. Vaping is safer than smoking, but the studies indicate that you really have to quit regular smoking in order to get the benefits. So what happens, unfortunately, is most people who vape and smoke. Not so much youth, but more in adults. Mm-hmm. So people think they're doing better because they'll take a break from smoking and vape for a while and then go back to smoking. That doesn't seem to help. But if they actually make a break from tobacco products and go to vaping, that is better. Not ideal, but it's better.
I've never vaped, but I have had pneumonia a couple of times where, and it started as a kid, but where you get the breathing treatments in the hospital. I presume that's what vaping is like, except instead of medicine, you're introducing God knows what into your lungs?
That's what, yeah, I have not vaped either, but apparently that is what it's like. And at a certain point, you're just struggling to get air, just like happens with COVID. In fact, a lot of the symptoms initially are very similar. And so for a period of time, it was confusing when people didn't really know what COVID was and they found somebody who vaped, it was easily confused. They're distinguishable now, but the inability to really take in a deep breath and struggling is what they'll find with vaping.
So when it comes to COVID and vaping, what it actually does to your lungs. Can you give us a layman's description of that, perhaps?
Well, we know that with vaping, we have damage to the immune system. We have restriction of vessels in the lung and accumulation of fluid. And particularly for a while, the stuff last year was related to vitamin E acetate in vaping products, which causes diffuse filling of the lungs, almost looking like ground glass on an X-ray. And with COVID, we also have severe lung damage and a constriction of the airways and flowing of the air, and the body is trying to fight off the virus and overdoes it and produces extra immune cells. So you have this cascade, they call it, of immune cells that flood the lungs. And so there are some differences, but essentially it's pretty lousy either way.
What about reversing the effects of either smoking or vaping if you decide to quit? It's like, that's it, I'm done. And if I understood you correctly, smoking and vaping together, not at the same time, but intermittently, that's the worst of it?
Well, smoking and vaping together is not really better than smoking.
Okay.
And so what happens eventually, so your body does respond well to quitting. And we know, particularly for tobacco use, that over the course of time, the systems, and it's not just your lungs, because smoking affects many organs and many systems, your body eventually recovers, although some things happen right away, some things take longer. With vaping, if somebody stops vaping, there will be recovery of lung tissue and the immune response. Unless they've done permanent damage, in which case there may be some scarring, but by and large, the individual's lungs will recover.
Any final thoughts, Doctor, before we let you go?
I think what we all have to do is just keep a watch that as things get better in the COVID world, that we don't see an increase in vaping again. As people start socializing and students start spending more time with each other, we really have to stay on top of this, because we certainly don't want a pandemic of vape-associated lung disease.
Parents that catch their kids vaping, what would your advice be to them? Best way to convey the message that this is not good for you, don't do it?
Well, we know how much telling kids that something is bad for them works, which is not very much.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. The best thing to do is talk to the kids about what they're doing just remind them of some of the issues involved with vaping and what it can do. And then watch how kids are spending their money. It's not a cheap habit. And so be a little bit cautious about how much money the kids have if you suspect that your child is vaping. I think that cutting off funds may work as well as anything else, but that's not based on science. That's based on my guess.
And I would think, as anything else, and again, this is just me as a parent, if you don't want them to do it, don't do it in front of them.
Right, absolutely. You set the model.
And if you think you're hiding it from them and they catch you hiding it, then they're going to think the model is to do it but hide it from you. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. I really do, and your work, and I hope we talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend, okay?
Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Professor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!